Called to be saints. Here's Brother Moore.
In Romans chapter 1, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these people, according to the Scripture, were called to be saints. These Romans to whom he writes were abiding in the law. They were law abiders. Look in chapter 2, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. So they were called Jews. They were circumcised. Notice in verse 25. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. So I know that these Gentiles, I know they are Gentiles, and that they were circumcised, so they were Jewish proselytes, keeping the law. Look in chapter 1 again. In chapter 1, verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. So as much as in me is, I am now ready to preach the gospel to you that at Rome also. So I know then that they're Gentiles at Rome. These Gentiles at Rome have been circumcised. They're Jewish proselytes. They're called Jews. And they're keeping the law. They believe that their salvation is in the law, in the keeping and so forth of the law. Now, there are thousands of people out there today, whether they're circumcised or not, they might be baptized. In other words, they might have done something to become a part of a religious organization. Jewish is religious. The religion of the Jews, Paul said in Galatians chapter 1. So the Jewish religion would be no other than any other religion. You understand? So you'd have the Catholic religion, the Baptist religion, the Methodist. Now, in the Jewish religion, for an individual to become one of them, he had to be circumcised and adhere to the things of the law. To be a part of the Baptist religion, an individual would have to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And there are different Baptist organizations that have a different way of doing that. Some believe that you baptize an individual back down one time in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. There are others believe that you baptize them three times. That is, one time in the name of the Father, once in the name of the Son, and once in the name of the Holy Ghost. Some believe that you baptize people face down. And some believe that if that individual is not put under the water, it is not legal baptism. That is, if his toe is sticking out, then he isn't baptized. And it just goes on and on and on. Then in the Methodist Church, if you join the Methodist Church, you might be sprinkled or it might be poured on you. And we could just go on and on and on. All I'm trying to do is illustrate a point. The book of Romans is written to a bunch of people that are religious, called to be saints. But that don't mean they are. You understand? Now, there were some saints at Rome, but these who needed the gospel are not saints. They're called to be saints, but they're not saints. Now, so therefore, not everyone who is called is a saint. You know, many have the walk and the talk, but not the salvation. They're not separated by God. They separated themselves. In fact, I've known of people that have been separated unto a religious system and then departed from that and went into another religious system and then departed from that and went into another and on and on and on. I knew some people in Montgomery, Alabama, that a man was up there who was an independent Baptist preaching in a Southern Baptist church, and many of the Baptists in that Baptist church left the Southern Baptist Convention and went to an independent church, and I talked to some of them and they were not saved. But they had separated from that liberal organization they'd been involved in, but they still weren't saints. Now, turn to Matthew 20, a couple of verses here. Matthew chapter 20, and notice in verse 16, Matthew 20, verse 16 says, "So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last." Now here, "For many be called, but few are chosen." You see, sometimes people are called unto salvation, and they join a religion. Instead of getting saved, they join a religion and submit to water baptism or whatever else the ordinances are. "Many be called, but few are chosen." Look in chapter 22. In chapter 22, it's a parable of the kingdom of heaven. And notice in verse 2, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king," representing God, "which made a marriage for his son," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden." And so he tells about how they made all sorts of excuses. Verse 8, "Then saith the king, saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, they which are bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to the marriage. So the servants went and did what he told them." And verse 11, "When the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in thither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now watch. "For many are called, but few are chosen." In other words, the man had, he was in there. He was at the feast. Leastwise, he was there for it. He didn't have on the proper attire. He didn't have on the proper garments. "Many are called, few are chosen." He was called, but he wasn't one of the chosen. If he'd have been one of the chosen, he'd had on the proper garment, which is righteousness. But he didn't have it. Now, I want you to notice something. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're talking about being called now. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved." I want you to understand now. It's God's will that all men be saved. He didn't say about women. I'm just kidding you. It's God's will that all human beings be saved. There's no exception to that rule. In other words, all without distinction of race, creed, or color, who'll have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. That's all without exception. It's God's will that all men without distinction be saved. Jesus Christ gave himself for all men without exception. So there's no way that an individual can say, "I wasn't invited." You understand now, the invitation goes to all men. It's God's will that all men be saved. Notice right across to Titus chapter 2. Titus 2 verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men." Now, there are numerous other... The Galatians are an illustration of what I'm trying to show you this morning. Turn to the book of Galatians and notice in Galatians chapter 1. We're going through a lot of verses of Scripture now, so hang in there. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul said, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." So these people then believed the gospel. They were called by the God. They were called unto Christ, and then they separated themselves unto another gospel. Now notice in chapter 3. Galatians 1, chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes, so forth and so on. In other words, they heard the gospel, they knew what it was. But instead of believing the gospel with all their heart, somebody came and convinced them that there was more to it than that. Oh, the thousands of people today that I've had, and they say to me, Brother Moore, I believe the gospel. I believe in salvation by grace, but there's more to it than that. Oh, there is? What else is there? Well, you have to be baptized for remission of sins. Like the Church of Christ preacher. He was arguing with me, and so I said, all right, I'll give you an illustration. Let's assume that I've just been in an automobile accident, and I'm laying in the weeds beside the highway, and I'm bleeding to death. I've got 3 minutes to live. You're the first man there. You come up to me, and I say to you, sir, would you please tell me what I need to do to be saved? He said, I'd tell you to repent of your sins and be baptized. I said, hold it. I am repentant of my sins. I have already repented. I'm laying here dying. Tell me what I need to do to be saved. He said, I'd tell you that you have to be baptized. I said, but come on, the blood's coming out of me. I'm dying, man. I can't be baptized. And he'd say, well, I tell you, you have to be baptized. And he begins to give me some scripture. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm dying, man. Come on, tell me. He said, there's no hope for you. I said, get away from me. I don't even want you to be close to me. People always say there's more to it than that. The Galatians heard the gospel. They knew what it was. Somebody went to them and said, oh, but that's true. We agree with you. But you must keep the law. Watch chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ hath made us free. Didn't say you, said us. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Come down to verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. In other words, they were in a position of the grace of God by the knowledge of the gospel of Christ. And then they said, okay, we will do whatever it is they were told to do. It might be baptized, but they were told to keep the law. And they said, okay, we'll keep the law. So Paul said, by doing this, you're fallen from grace. And preachers around the world, they've taken the passage out of its context and said, you're fallen from grace by, they say, an individual. Say, well, this fellow's an adulterer. He's fallen from grace. This fellow's been drinking booze. He's fallen from grace. I've heard that fellow cuss. He's fallen from grace. Well, that's nonsense. That's not what the passage says. They were fallen from grace because they trusted in their ability to keep the law to be saved. So if they worked for their salvation, they couldn't be in the grace of God at the same time. For grace has no work associated with it. Anybody that believes you're going to be saved by being a good person and keeping commandments and ordinances, you're fallen from grace. You're not in the grace of God. Grace is unmerited favor. So, there are four things I want to refer to here. God's call is a holy calling. Now, people always get some crazy idea about holy. That is not necessarily true of it, although in many cases it is, but it's not necessarily. Like, for instance, that piano is a holy piano. Looks like any other, doesn't it? Well, then why is it holy? Because it is separated, because it is sanctified, set apart to do a job. It is not in here to play honky-tonk music. It is not in here to play rock and roll or rap or any of that nonsense. It is in here to play hymns and so forth. It is holy. God's calling is holy. It is different. It is not the same as all others. There are pianos all over Pensacola, and the notes are all the same, but they don't play the same. They're not there for the same thing. There are a lot of gospels, but they're not all the same. God's calling is a holy calling. It is separate from the calling of the Old Testament Scriptures. Say, here is the giving of a law in 1500 B.C. So during this period of time, people are separated under the law. Then, here's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus Christ called these men here, and baptism was the order of the day. Then Acts chapter 2 until Acts chapter 9, these all joined together in here. The gospel of the kingdom. Then the gospel of the resurrection. Then the Lord appeared to Saul, and this calling with Saul was different from many of these back here. It was separate from them. The Lord called from heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, Paul said, the gospel that I believed was that Christ died for my sins and was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. So the Lord preached unto Saul something different than he preached to anybody else. It's a holy call. It's a different, it's a separate calling. It's apart from all others. So when people tell you that Peter and Paul preach the same gospel, they don't know what they're talking about. They're trying to pull a con job on you. The word holy means pure, sanctified, separate from any and all works of the flesh. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh are called. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Well, back here, there were some very mighty men back here. David's mighty men. There were some noble men back here. And on and on and on. But not many of that type over here are called. In other words, the calling had nothing to do with them being mighty, noble, or any of those things. In other words, that's not the issue here. Verse 27, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, then, I know something. I know that this calling right here between the two appearings, in other words, the gospel is between here. The message of the gospel came down to Saul here, and the rapture of the church goes out over here, and so between the two of them, the flesh and its works are bad. In other words, the gospel, the calling of the Lord in here is not based upon your genealogy. It isn't based upon your color. It isn't based upon any of those things. It is a holy calling separate from all other callings in this entire Bible. Why, you couldn't miss that if you tried. Back here when Jesus sent the 12 out, he said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you preach, say, on and on and on. Well, the calling of us is not based upon that calling back there. How could it be? He said, go not in the way of the Gentiles, go only in the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's a holy calling. It's different. It's separate. It's very pure. It's separate from the work of the flesh, the works of the law, or any of those things. Number two, God's call is by the gospel. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I thought that I ought to put number two first, and I put them as they came to me. So I said, well, I won't do that. The Lord in dealing with me, these are the way the thoughts came, and so that's the way I put them down. So somebody said, well, you ought to put the gospel first. Well, I put the calling first. Now, what is the calling? Well, it's according to the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2, and notice verse 14. Now, let's start in verse 13. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the, and on and on and on. Well, then the calling of God is by the gospel. This holy calling, then, is by the gospel of Christ. Only those who willingly give up religious works are among the chosen. How do you know that? Well, just like I was saying a while ago. Say, sir, are you saved? I reckon if anybody is, I am. How'd you get saved? I repented of my sins, baptized for remission of sins, and I'm keeping the commandments. No, that's not the answer. You believe it's salvation by works of the flesh. Well, he'll say, I believe that they're based upon the commandments of the Lord. The Lord commands you to do this and this and this. If you do it, then you're saved. Nope. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Paul said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ and be found in him, on and on and on. Why, folks, the gospel of Christ and the calling by the gospel of Christ is not associated with any work that you could do for God to gain his favor. It's based upon the work that Christ did at Calvary, and Christ's work at Calvary gain the favor for you. Hence, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Why? Because Christ died for your sins and he was buried and rose again for your justification. So your work doesn't even enter in the picture at all. The calling of God is based upon the gospel. What is the gospel? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. No works of your flesh involved in there. Now, notice, see, I said this is a holy calling now, and I tried to show you that the Gospels are different. Now watch. Take Titus 3 in one hand, and Acts 10 in one. Titus 3 and Acts 10. Now look what Peter did. In Acts 10, the man is a Gentile. He gives help to Israel. Praise to God always. This kind of thing. Had some things going for him. Well, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, there's a man over there in this other city named Peter. Send somebody to get him. Tell him to come here and tell you what you need to do. So he sends for him, and Peter comes. Now in Acts 10, verse 28, and he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come into one of another nation. Now, isn't that a ridiculous thing to say? In other words, if Peter was supposed to be preaching to Gentiles, why would he say such a thing? Peter knew that the Lord said, go not in the way of the Gentiles, go only the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yet here he is going into a Gentile's house, and he said, it's an unlawful thing for me to do this, but God has shown me that I'm not to call you common or unclean. Now, he didn't show him that in the Great Commission. In other words, Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, told him, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Peter didn't believe that. It included Cornelius. or the Lord wouldn't have to have done what He did to get him over there to Cornelius' house. He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized should be saved. Peter gets into the man's house and said, it's an unlawful thing for me to be here. But God showed me I'm not to call you common or unclean. He didn't get that message out of Mark 16. Well, that isn't all. Notice in verse 29, therefore I came unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you've sent from me. Oh, boy. Wouldn't that be something? The Lord says to Saul, arise and stand upon thy feet. I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister unto the people and to the Gentiles, unto whom now send thee, and on and on and on. Imagine Saul going to him and saying, well, folks, it's an awful thing for me to come here unto you, but God showed me. No, that won't work. Something different going on here with Peter. In Acts 10:34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. I say, well, what was the message of salvation back then in Acts 10? He that feareth God and worketh righteousness is acceptable to God. Had to do a work of righteousness before he could be saved. So what did he tell him to do? Well, now, while Peter's talking, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and they spoke with tongues. Now, in verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Why? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How'd they know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. In other words, there's a bunch of unlearned Gentiles there who don't know the Hebrew language, and there's some Hebrews in the room, and so these Gentiles speak the Hebrew language and glorify God. And these Hebrews said, well, whoa, they received the Holy Ghost as well as we. How do you know? We heard them speak, and on and on, you see. We spoke in tongues. I've seen Jimmy Swaggart do that goose step thing back and forth across that stage, camera on him, do his thing, said speaking in tongues, Consibidii, possum up a gum stump, Toyota, Honda, you know, whatever. Do you believe he had the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I don't. I mean, all the time he's doing this, he's messing around with some whore down in New Orleans, and on, you understand? So these people here, these Gentiles right here, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word, on those Gentiles. Now what did Peter do? Peter said, well, praise God, these people are saved and everything's settled. No, that's not what he said. Verse 47, Peter answered, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. They feared God, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, and were commanded to be baptized. And on the television broadcast this morning, can you imagine a scene in a Baptist church? Some fellow comes forward, and the preacher said, well, why'd you come? He said, well, I came to be baptized. Or you say, well, yes, I received Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, so-and-so. Okay. So they get ready for the baptismal service, and it's such a serene set. Behind the baptistry, they've got the picture of the stream of water coming down, and the colored lights are shining down on the water. And the preacher gets down in the water, and the candidate comes down. He's got a handkerchief in his hand to put over the nose of the candidate. And he gets ready, and somebody stands up and says, whoa, wait a minute, hold the phone. How can you baptize this man? Well, what do you do? Well, I haven't heard this man speak in tongues. How do I know he's received the Holy Ghost? You understand, in the passage, Peter said, can you forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we? They had heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And he commanded them to be baptized. So the baptism followed something they did, evidently. Fear God, work righteousness. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Peter preached, fear God and work righteousness. Paul preached, believe the gospel, trust Jesus Christ, salvation is yours. No more, no less. All right, God's call is a holy calling. God's call is by the gospel. Number three, only the called with that holy calling will be glorified. People can fake it here, but they can't fake it there. Turn to Romans 8. I know that this might sound a little bit severe, but God is severe. In Romans 8:28, the Bible said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, I know that the first thing is that there's some that God did foreknow. In other words, before the foundation of the world, that's there, God Almighty looked down and saw that individuals would believe that Christ died for their sins, trust Him as the Savior. So God foreknew that they would believe. Now, next verse. As many as He did foreknow, He did what? He did predestinate. God never predestinated anybody to get saved. God foreknew who would get saved and predestinated the ones that are saved. Foreknow, predestinate, them He did predestinate, He did what? In other words, based upon God's calling then, God's foreknowledge, everything falls into place. In other words, if God foreknew that an individual in here would be saved, then He predestinated him. Period. One way or another, the message will get to him and he'll believe. So people say, well, how about those people in darkest Africa? Well, that's like that God wouldn't foreknow that a fellow down there was going to trust Christ as Savior. As many as He did foreknow, He predestinated. As many as He predestinated, He called. And as many as He called, He did what? All right. As many as He did foreknow, He predestinated. As many as He did predestinate, He did call. Them that He did call, He did justify. In other words, justification took place at Calvary. As many as He did justify, He did glorify. Now, who will God glorify? Those that He did justify. He justified them at Calvary. If you weren't justified at Calvary, you can't be glorified. And you weren't justified at Calvary if you don't believe on Christ. So it's all centered around the gospel. Those that get glorified are the ones that He justified. Who is it that He justified? Those that He called. Who is it that He called? Those He predestinated. Who did He predestinate? Those that He did foreknow. Why, there ain't any way you can get around it. Without the gospel, you go to hell. There isn't any other way. The calling is by the gospel of Christ. It's a holy calling. There ain't but one gospel whereby you can be saved. Only the call without holy calling will be glorified. Notice, that's why it's called a glorious gospel. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, the Bible said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It's a glorious gospel. In Titus chapter 1, I'm sorry, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, you don't have to turn there unless you want to, verse 11, there's some things that is based upon the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So I know then it wasn't committed to Peter, it wasn't committed to John, it was committed to Paul. All right? The calling. God's call is a holy calling. It's by the gospel. Only those who are called by that holy calling will be glorified. And God's holy, glorious gospel call is the only way unto righteousness. God's holy, glorious gospel call is the only way unto righteousness. Not by works of righteousness that we've done, but Lord in mercy save us. All our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Romans chapter 1. Look at it. Verse 16, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation of everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that is in the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, the righteousness of God is revealed in the good news that Christ died for our sins and rose again. The unrighteousness of man is revealed in the works that men tell you to do to gain that which is gained by Christ. You cannot be righteous by works. The only way is by the gospel. In fact, look in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, verse 22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Look in verse 25, referring to Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Look in verse 26. To declare at this time His righteousness, that it might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. You can't be saved without His righteousness. Romans chapter 4, and look at verse 4. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt, but to him that worketh not, doesn't get baptized, doesn't keep the law, doesn't join the church, doesn't do any kind of good work for God, him that worketh not. He's not a repentant sinner seeking God at an old-fashioned altar. No kind of religious work. Him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, referring to Christ, God made him to be sin for us. All right? We were born in sin. Our condition was that of sin. God made Christ to be sin for us. In other words, our sin was transferred to Calvary. Christ became sin for us. That we, by believing on Christ, by trusting as our Savior, by believing the gospel, might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. It's simple as ABC. God's calling is a holy calling. It's through the gospel of Christ. Only those who are called with that gospel will ever be glorified. There is no other calling whereby the righteousness of God is revealed, except the gospel. What's that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. There is one alternative. What is it? Wrath. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. People who today who tell you there's more to it than that, and they add to the gospel by saying, believe the gospel, but repent of your sins, be baptized, remission of sins, keep the law, and so forth. The wrath of God is reserved for them.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Moore.